I mean, this isn't rocket science. There's no, it's, you know, and for that matter, without like going off into a tangent, which I'm not going to do, there's no, I promise, this time. There's no, you know, super whiz-bang tool. I submit that everybody in this room made their money with the basics. Write good headlines, providing real content and value to people who buy actual products. Some of them are on cassette. You get it? So there's no, you know, there's no next big thing. This here is just serving people in a basic way. That's what this is all about, this conversation.
Another thing that I'm surprised you haven't mentioned yet, which just came to me, is getting a hold of other experts to speak at your Intel Summer. Well, if you've got a hold of one, why not ask them to who you want to be on? I mean, just in this room itself, when I wanted to meet Russell, and the way I did it was he knew Patrick Chan, which is someone I knew, and I simply asked him to introduce me to Russell. And then when I got to know Russell, he happened to mention that he knew Mike Filsing, and I hadn't met Mike yet. So I said, hey, Russell, can you introduce me to Mike? And what he did was put me on a teleconference call where both myself and Mike were guest speakers, and now I know Mike. And so I didn't have to do a cold call to Mike to get to know him. It was much easier to go through Russell, and it was much easier to get to know Russell through Patrick. That's just,
great point.
It's much easier to do it that way. So if you make one successful call, leverage that and see who else they can help you get.
You want to get pictures, if you can, if you ever have an opportunity, always make sure you have an opportunity to get, you know, one of these pictures with somebody, because people associate you as an expert when they see you with other with other experts, and it's that instant credibility. And there's you know, one guy that recently started a site called 12 Week Intensive, and his name is Harris Feldman, and he's got who's the guy from Guerrilla Marketing, Jay Conrad Levinson.
Yeah.
He's got
Mark,
Brad Fallon, Mark Joyner, and I'm like, look, I think Yannick Silver. He's got all these people on the page, and I'm like, how did this guy stay into my radar for the last 5 years? I mean, this guy knows everybody. And all of a sudden, I get him on the phone. He's like, oh, I just started, you know, started this about 3 months ago. I realized that this is how to do it, and I just
called everybody up.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden, I thought he was an expert in the field because I see his picture next to every other big name in the industry. So, yeah, so you got to, you definitely have to paint that brand for people, because
fire up the Photoshop.
Well, I just want to take a second. I want to kind of bring it home to everyone who's watching this, because we've talked about a lot of stuff so far. We've talked about researching markets, coming up with a winning product idea, doing joint ventures, and finding, you know, collaborative partnerships. We also talked about some tools and systems that you'll need to get started, some very basic stuff. We talked about building gateway pages or capture pages and autoresponders. So I just want to just take a moment to have everyone give a little input on some of the tools that we're using to create these. We talked about creating a capture page, and really you've got, you know, it's not a very difficult thing to do. You've got a little bit of real estate to work with on a web page, so it's about getting you know, as much compelling copy in there as possible. And I don't want to get too much into copywriting or anything like that. There's a lot of great courses out there. Perhaps some of the folks in this room have courses. But, you know, it's about tapping into the minds of your market, knowing what they want, and taking that information and compelling them to take some sort of action. And so copywriting is like one of those million-dollar skills. So if you're going to learn, you know, how to market online, I'd say that copywriting is one of those things that you either have to learn how to do yourself, or you have to find someone who can do it. But as far as building a page, a squeeze page, there's a lot of tools out there that can help you do it. I just want to go ahead and mention a shameless pitch here. Gateway Magic does have the ability to create a page that will allow you to capture people's information. Not only that, but you can survey your market to find out what exactly they want, what their hot buttons are. You can split test, and you can do some of the stuff that we've talked about with affiliate programs and other things like that. And, you know, it's just a really smart way to be able to conduct the market research and to get an idea of a product even before you spend a lot of money on it by split testing affiliate programs. Another thing we mentioned was autoresponders, and there's a lot of folks out here that use different autoresponders. Personally, I use One Shopping Cart. I think they're a great service. But I just want to go ahead and give everyone else a chance to kind of throw in some tools or ideas.
I'd like to throw in one other thing and bring it. I wanted to bring it back to the, you know, the teleconference. And there's two tools to my knowledge, and I'd like to hear, you know, if anybody knows of any others. And that's Gateway Magic and Squeeze Page Generator.
office.
Yeah, that's not mine, but it's I have that.
That's Leon Klepfisher's.
Yeah, but it's a good. I have it. It's a good product.
Do you have a squeeze page builder?
I don't. We just build.
Okay.
I mean, I make them. They're really so simple to make. Yeah. I mean, not the way you guys do it. You've got a lot of back end programming stuff. You know, there's a transitional issue let's deal with here. Because when we started out, we talked about adding a pop up to the guy's web page, and now we're talking about a page that they're going to send their users to. Maybe it's a page that they're going to send by a pop up. Maybe it's a page that they're going to send, you know, by email. What's going to happen is, when you approach them with the simple, easy thing, hey, it's no work, all you do is just add the little code to the web page, once they start getting involved in it and they realize the potential, they're going to say, especially if the pop-up's only generating, you know, 5 or 10%, gosh, how do we get more people on there? Well, the way that we do that, Mr. Partner, is we use a name squeeze page or a lead capture page. And at that point, that's when the person decides whether they're either going to add the code to the page for the $500 check or send their mailing list a special teaser ad to send them straight into the thing because they want their $10,000 check. So, you know, once you get someone, once you establish a relationship with someone, you want to keep building that up. And, you know, it all is going to depend on how much they want to get at the end of the month or at the end of the promotion. And I guarantee you, if you get with people and they trust you and they like you and they're willing to put the code on their page, more than likely you can get them to pop up the squeeze page or mail their whole list for a direct promotion for the thing. And at that point, you know, you're really working as partners. And that's why these tools are important to have under your belt, because when the time comes that the person says, okay, you know, let me try to get 5,000 people on the call, at that point you need to be able to step up to the plate with the tools and the stuff. So all they need to do is load it into their autoresponder and hit send, and then bang, you take care of everything after that.
So, all right, so we've got some great tips here for, like, developing the content and actually running the seminar. I'm kind of interested in how are we going to get paid?
Yeah, I've got a quick point on getting paid if that's the arena we're going to go into.
Yeah.
If someone's brand new to this and they have put together a teleseminar series, put the partners together, have the promo up and going, to where there is the actual potential to make $30,000, you're going to do it probably. If it's all leading up to that 30th day where you're actually going to hold the teleseminar and sell the product, you know, on the back end, you're probably going to make 30 grand that day. There's a very good chance you'll do that in an hour at the end of the teleseminar. So, you know, what happens for someone who's just now setting up their very first merchant account? Who do they use?
Well, I think the easiest thing to do is to set up a PayPal account. There's no credit
approval. Yeah, right.
You get the account.
But you don't have affiliate links with PayPal. We're selling some of this with affiliate.
You could use pay.com for that.
Pay.com. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's paydotcom.com. Paydotcom.com. Yeah, pay.com works like ClickBank, but it pays you instantly to your PayPal account, and you pay your affiliates at the end of the month with PayPal's mastermind.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I think that a lot of otherwise good businesses get killed because, oh, well, I can't really do it because I don't have merchant processing, or I don't have this, or a shop. I don't have all the stuff. I don't have all my ducks in a row.
Don't use what you think you need. Use what you have available to you. And there's people we know who run their whole businesses off of PayPal.
Russell's dad did a joint venture with Vince James and said, hey, you know, how about I find people to do a call with you? And I'll set up a domain for your product with my affiliate link. So he started contacting people. He opened up a PayPal account, put it through pay.com. It was a physical product of somebody else's product. He put all the information there, and I go, tell me, you did it, Gary, you did it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was probably over $100,000 in sales between the three of us.
Easy.
You know, easily. Just with three people. So, you know, his cut was...
No, it was somebody else's product that already existed. That wasn't with a brand new product. There was nothing created. A free teleseminar.
Put us together.
This is the exact same process
we're doing right now. Get them on a call. You know, teleseminar. Great content. People get all... salted and thirsty. Wow, this is incredible. How do I get it? Give them a bonus at the end if they buy now, the urgency, the, you know, and all that stuff.
don't we just take a minute to talk about back-ends, upsells, cross-sells, how to increase your customer value? You guys want to take a few minutes to talk about that stuff?
I would use the same. If it were up to me, I would use the same exact model. I would get a monthly newsletter that I'd sell for $19.95 to $29.95 a month, and I would just use the exact same business model. If it were, you know, farming for onions, I would go interview on the phone for an hour an onion farming expert, and I put that call either on CD or online. I transcribe it so there's a physical piece to it as well. And every month, whoever's subscribing at $20 a month gets that copy, and all it, you know, it took me all of 2 or 3 days of work to put together. And if you've got 1,000 subscribers, well, there's a nice, you know, $20,000 a month for you.
And I would add in that the physical print component is extremely important. The most important thing. And don't forget those things are going out, since they pay $20 or whatever a month. That's your opportunity to add in bounce back material.
Yes.
And so that's the real purpose of that, is what you sell them, because the $20 makes them a better customer over the long run. That's the real purpose of it.
So split
continuity revenue is nice, but it's the back end stuff. What it does to the customer is cement the relationship.
Well, when you start to, there's also kind of when the numbers start getting big, you know, as everyone here knows, merchant processors are all the devil. They're all the devil.
I got caught.
And with continuity programs that are strictly internet-based, if the customer says, well, I didn't order this, 7 months later, you're going to refund them every nickel. But another nice kind of fringe benefit with this model is when you're sending out CDs, you have a physical product. And you can demand, for people that abuse the system, you can demand that they return the physical product for the refund. So you look much better in the eyes of merchant processors.
And PayPal is a little bit more on the vendor side than MasterCard, Visa.
Yeah.
They actually stand in and almost take your position. And I've even had a couple situations where they've actually told me that they've eaten the chargeback for me because I've provided enough information. I couldn't believe that. I didn't even know that they would do that. I was shocked to see that, because I provided all the information.
PayPal's come a long way. The old days, man. I don't know how many horror stories we had.
So we're throwing out some ideas about back end products. And you know, one of the interesting things there, right, is you can create a tremendous amount of leverage and create a tremendous amount of revenue by having higher priced products that you can sell to people that have already bought your beginning products.
There's another thing too. I'm pretty sure that people that either farm onions don't just farm onions, or they might have tomatoes, or I'm sure they might eat pickles.
Let's talk about what
they buy. They buy plows,
back,
right?
Right. There's so many different ways to.
About what upsell is, what cross-sell is, and what back-sell. And I, the way it was explained to me was the easiest way to understand it. You drive through McDonald's and you order a value meal. They'll immediately offer you an upsell. You say, would you like to supersize that? And so now they're taking your $4.99 order and making it $5.99. And all that money, you know, you go to the popcorn place at the movie theater. Can I get a small popcorn? Would you like the large for, you know, 10 cents, 25 cents more? Because they know it costs them one penny. And they're making an extra 24 cents just by putting that line in. So that's a classic upsell. A cross-sell, same thing at McDonald's. You go to McDonald's and you say, you know, can I get a number three? And they say, would you like an apple pie with that? So just by throwing that in, they're cross-selling another product because they have you there with your wallet out. So it's the same type of thing, you know, in your marketing. As Telman said, he cross-sells on his thank you page, after they confirm. And then even on the cross-sell, after they order, he could upsell them and say, hey, if you want the resale rights to what you just purchased, you know, it's just another $79 more. People are in that, you know, that's why there's those magazines and gum at the checkout. People are in a buying state. You know, we've seen it. You go into Staples, you know, to buy Staples. And you walk out, you know, you're walking out like this. Hey,
a computer.
I got
six computers.
You know, so
from McDonald's, the back end example would be, would you like to buy a franchise?
There's a concept that I think needs to be addressed, because some people might be looking at this and say, well, geez, how much information does an onion farmer need about growing onions? Well, there's a very bizarre concept that a lot of people don't believe it, but I guarantee you it's absolutely true. Satisfaction of a demand does not satisfy a demand. It creates more demand. If someone's interested in scuba diving, they're interested in scuba diving. They want to know every single thing they can get about scuba diving. And, you know, I remember talking to a cassette duplicator guy years and years ago, and he said, who's more likely to buy a scuba diving video. Someone who just bought one or someone who never bought one. And I, at first I said, well, someone who never bought one because they don't have one. Someone who just bought one, they already got one. And he says, no, someone who bought one is like 30 times more likely to buy another one. And so at the same time, I learned what's the most important part of it, the title of any product? Part one. Volume one.
How many golfers have more than one video about their golf swing?
That's right. Those who have one video probably have three, four, five, or six. If you're not predisposed to buy golf videos, even if you're a golfer, you're not going to buy a golf video.
It happened to me recently.
If you buy something, if you're a topic, you're going to buy more of it.
It happened to me in poker. Some guy was talking, my video teaches you how to play Texas Hold'em. So as soon as I called, the lady, this horrible lady just sitting there, would you like to also have the video on Tails? Oh, Tails? No, T-E-L. Oh, Tails. Yeah. Give me the Tails. We also have, how to play in tournaments. Would you like that? And I was like, yeah. Give me that. How much more is that? So I called for this $9.99 video. I think by the time, you want the express shipping? Well, what is it? It could be up to 4 to 6 weeks. Well, what's express? 2 days. Yeah, well, give me that for $9. This $19.95 video, I think, ended up costing me like $109.
I call that the Walmart syndrome. I could go into Walmart to buy a notepad, but I just automatically plan on spending $50.
Oh, like Ronco. I call it the same thing. That Ronco thing, and it was funny. How, because we talk about untargeted. I went and bought the Ronco grill, and I was serial buyer because I appreciate good marketing.
Yeah. The Ronco grill that's in my shed?
Yeah, and then the rib baskets and the shrimp baskets, and that's relevant. Okay, now the spices. That's getting a little out there. By the time they got to timeshares and long distance...
Well, that's the perfect example of how the process and the list are the most important. If the execution sucks, like the lady with the bad diction who couldn't... Whatever. Oh, yeah. Is there something else you can sell me on this particular product? Is there something else I can buy? Mm-hmm. We're hungry for it. We're on the phone. We're reading the web page. We're in a buying state. We're in a buying mood. If you just offer it, even if you don't do a good job offering it, you'll make money. Mm-hmm.
I want to say something on that, too, is that you'll be amazed that people will pay for stuff, too. Our first back in Riverdale, it was a $500 thing, and I was like, I don't think anyone will buy it. Sent out an email. No sales letter. Just said, hey, would you be willing to pay $500 if I did this? We had 18 people send me $500. So then I was like, well, crap. So next time I do it, I said, $1,000 for this thing. We had 79 people send me $1,000. The next thing, I'm like, no sales or nothing. This time, I'm like, okay, well, they paid $500, paid $1,000. I'm going to do a $10,000 thing. Which just, I'm not going to write a sales letter because I don't want to waste the time. It doesn't work. Recorded a 45-minute phone message. Sent an email and said, call this phone number. 45-minute message, sold 8 of them at $10,000 a piece.
We're holding it in 2 weeks, and we still don't have a sales page for it.
And I'm not going to write one because it doesn't need, it's not worth the time. if someone buys something at 37, then there's going to be a big group who will pay 500, that will pay 1,000. We're teaching the same stuff over and over, just different situations. One's an ebook, one's a phone tell seminar, and this one's you're coming to Boise, you're meeting me, and I'm sitting there kicking your butt and make sure you're going to do it. So
it's more
the process. Yeah.
It's worth mentioning that I think somebody said earlier that on the training calls it's training and there's no pitching. I've not done a series or I've not done a product yet at which there wasn't something higher. So everything to me, maybe someday we'll sell a $3 million consulting course for life.
I went to a $25,000 workshop. I paid $25,000 to be there, and then it was like, and here's what you can take home so you can listen to this over and over and over.
Exactly. So the question is, did you buy?
Part of it. There were different modules that you part of break enough. Down. But I did walk away spending another $1,000.
I think the great lesson here that I learned doing this is just because somebody buys a $29 ebook, don't assume they can't easily pay for a $500 homesteady course and go to a $2,000 seminar and maybe attend a $25,000 boot camp like you did. Sure. In every big list, there's customers who are tight on budget and you got millionaires and you don't know the difference, and shame on you if you're not providing some way for that guy to use his money to get what he really wants.